Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Those words still roll down jubilantly for us Christians because the devil, the world, our sinful flesh have been trampled under the feet of Jesus Christ. Because he is alive, we trust that every person that we have returned to him is only temporarily returned to him, that their bodies are temporarily laid to rest, but on the last day, the resurrection of all flesh will happen. We heard of it in Ezekiel. We heard the valley of the dry bones and how at the word of God, they were brought back together. Sinews brought back together, flesh brought back on the bones, a mighty army for the Lord. And that army will sing out the praise of Jesus Christ, the victory of the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall have no end. Now, at the time of the first century in the year of our Lord, Anno Domini, it didn't always seem that way to the Christians. We saw in our gospel lesson that the 10 on that first Easter Sunday are behind closed and locked doors. They are afraid of what the Jews might do to them. What happens when those who reject the saving name of Jesus Christ hear that he is risen? What will happen to us? And so they shut themselves behind those doors rather than believing the women, rather than believing the stories. They are afraid. And so Jesus comes to them on that first Sunday, the day of his resurrection. And the 10, to them he says, "Pax, peace, peace be to you. Do not be afraid. What can man do unto you? The resurrection is true. What I promised you is true. Look at me and see and believe." What a joy it is. But on that Sunday, not everyone is present. So you can see just how much you miss by missing on a Sunday. You see the 10 gathered, but Thomas is not with them. And so when Jesus appears to them and he gives them this beautiful authority to forgive sins and to withhold that forgiveness from those who refuse to repent, the impenitent in heart, we see that they tell him, "He's risen. Indeed, alleluia. Praise be to Jehovah." Thomas says, "Unless I see for myself, I will not believe." How important it is that we, dear Church of Christ, who have not seen for ourselves, truly believe. That we gather week in and week out to hear that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Every Sunday is a little Easter. But there was still some fear. Fear at the persecution. Fear as Roman emperor after Roman emperor was raised to put Christians to death. Fear under the emperor Nero, who laughed and fiddled as Rome burned, possibly under his own hand, and then blamed the Christians for it. Fear as Domitian cried out that all people under his rule should refer to him as Dominus et Deus, Lord and God. There could be great fear, but the Christian still takes heart. The Christian still has joy. Jesus appears to the 10 that day. He bestows upon them the ability to forgive and to withhold, an office of the keys that God still gives to his church on earth, to hand to pastors, to pronounce absolution to those who repent, but to withhold in the prayer and the hope that they will repent. It's not a pastor's favorite part of his job, but it is a required part of it, that when someone is living in sin, living in an open, unrepentant way, that the pastor must encourage them to repent and deny the sacrament of the altar until they do. It's not some sort of power kick. It's because the pastor actually cares about each soul under his care. St. Paul speaks about this in 1 Corinthians, that those who eat and drink the body and blood of Christ in an unworthy manner, that is, without repentance of sins, eat and drink not the blessings, not the forgiveness, but he says the judgment. They receive the judgment. 1 Corinthians 11. The goal is always to drive the person to the foot of the cross. The goal is always that they may hear the word of God and that the Holy Spirit work in their hearts to return them to him. That's always the point, to drive the person back to Jesus. Unless I see for myself, I will not believe. Thomas spends a week in that state, but the next Sunday rolls around, you know exactly where Thomas is. He's gathered with them, you know, just in case. When we give consideration to how beautiful Sundays truly are as the Lord's Day, we see that St. John, the writer of this gospel and the writer of the epistle that we are reading from today, is also the writer of the book of Revelation. And he is given that vision of heaven, of the final days that lead to heaven, of the consummation of the destruction of the old heavens and the old earth and the making of the new. We see that happening on the Lord's Day, yet another Sunday. This time, Thomas is there. I'll not miss another opportunity. Jesus comes to them again on that Sunday, on that eighth day after he had risen from the dead, and he appears to them. That day, he shows himself to Thomas. And he says to him, "Do not be disbelieving, but believe. Peace, pox, do not be afraid of the unbelieving Jews. Do not be afraid of the Roman emperor who rounds up Christians and puts them to death. Do not be afraid of the Muslim or those who reject and then slay Christians for their confession of who Jesus Christ is. Do not be afraid of any of them. Rather, look to the Lord. Fear him. Respect him. Love and serve him. Peace." That same peace is given to you today. And he says to Thomas, "Reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And I know not all of you are going to see it very well from here, but I'll put it out there today so that you can look at it. Caravaggio paints it in such a way that there's such a realism there that you can feel the picture that I'm about to show you. This is a picture, a painting, of exactly what we're talking about today. And again, I know in the back you probably can't see it that well, but those in the front that see it can probably feel the squirming inside your ribcage at this picture. But look at it. Look upon it. See what Jesus has done. His side poured out water and blood that he may wash his church, that he may feed and nourish her. Do not be disbelieving, but believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. Domitian lied when he forced people to confess that he is Dominus et Deus. In a children's movie, God with Us, we see that John is placed on Patmos because of his refusal to cry out that Domitian is Dominus et Deus. And while I'm not going to get into the finer points of theology or the speculation about exactly when John died or exactly when John was placed in exile, if he's writing Revelation against Nero or Domitian, the words are true not of Domitian, but of someone else. And when you read the Vulgate of John, of John's words in this gospel, you will see that Thomas cries out not these words to Domitian, he'll die before that time, but to Jesus. Upon this act, Thomas cries out, Dominus et Deus, my Lord and my God. What a beautiful confession. Domitian might have control over the bodies, but Jesus has both body and soul in his hands. Yes, they may slay those early Christians, but they could not take their souls. And those bodies, abused, burned, eaten, slaughtered as they were, will be raised on the last day. Body and soul reunited to sing the praises of Jesus Christ. Dear church, do not let the world stand in the way of your joy. This is the Easter season. It continues. We have multiple weeks where we get to continue celebrating the fact that our Lord is risen from the dead and that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. He is ours. And we are his. My Lord and my God. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. As I said, you were not there that Easter morning to witness the resurrection. You were not there on the Sunday afterward as he came and ate with them, as he told Thomas to do this exact thing. You were not there when he fed them at the seashore with the fish after his resurrection and after the week after this. We were not there as Jesus ascended back to his throne. We were not there as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his chosen ones. And yet we believe. And we are blessed for it. Jesus did so many signs and wonders. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, gives us so many beautiful words to hang our hats upon, to rest assuredly, that when the world tries to get us to disbelieve, when the world tries to get us to fear, when the world tries to get us to deny that Jesus is the Christ for a few pennies, we will not do it. He writes, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The world has no claim on you, dear child of God. The world has no control of you. This is simply a pilgrimage. You are simply traveling through until you end with him. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus the Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. As we gathered during Holy Week, we heard of this, that from that spear, from that wound in his side, flowed both that blood and that water, and that the water washes us in our baptism, that blood fills the cup of salvation, the cup that we drink for the forgiveness of sins. John testifies of these things, for he was there. These are the three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these agree as one. The true marks of the church are where the gospel is proclaimed, where the sacraments are rightly administered. The Christian church exists not to pander to the world, not to change its views based on what the world holds at any given moment, not to chase after a fallen culture ruled by the devil. The church rejects those things, for the church is the bride of Christ. She submits not to the world, but to her bridegroom, Jesus. Jesus has washed us. Jesus gives us clothing, the robes of righteousness in our baptism. Jesus feeds us on his own body and blood, where he is the host and he is the meal. He is the one that makes all things ready, and he is the one that feeds. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he testified of his Son. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. I would encourage all Christian churches, or at least churches that have the name Christian on their side, reject the fallenness of this world. Reject the lies and the father of lies, the devil, and turn instead to Jesus. Do not make God a liar, because he is not one, and God cannot be mocked. God will restore all things in his final days of consummation. So once again, do not fear. Do not fear what the unbelievers may try to do to you. Do not fear what the Roman emperors, kings, princes, presidents, governors might try to do unto you. Fear none of it. Take heart, dear child. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. The church sings. No longer Thomas then denied. He saw the feet, the hands, the side. You are my Lord and God, he cried. Alleluia, 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 amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.